want to talk about, is the end of the world coming soon? Well, my answer is yes and no. Okay, let's be seated. I mean, that's it. It's yes and no. Yes and no. Is the end of the world coming soon? Well, that depends on what you mean by soon. I don't like lawyer games. But it does depend on what you mean by soon. 2 Peter in chapter 2, I'm not turning, but you glance if you will, that it indicates there that some will think that God is slack concerning His promise to come and destroy this planet because He's taking so long and things are continuing for so long as they always have since creation, they claim. But then Peter goes on to say, you're making a couple grave errors. One, God has destroyed this planet as we know it with water in Noah's day. And secondly, with God, one day and 1,000 years are all the same. And so there is no slackness at all. It would be as if from man's perspective, he's saying, what's taking you so long? You said you were going to return one day and destroy this place. What's taking you so long? And it would be as if God responds, well, that's just in your head that it's a long time. It's not long from my perspective in eternity. And so, the destruction of the world, is it coming soon? That's the title. Is the end of the world coming soon? It depends. It depends from whose perspective you're viewing it. Soon, even from a man's perspective, is somewhat relative. Have you ever had someone say, I'll pick you up soon? And it comes to be 30 minutes or an hour, and it's like, here I am, and what took you so long? I said I'd come get you soon. You call that soon? And we have a debate even among ourselves as to what constitutes soon. Well, then you put God in the mix, and we've really got a definition problem. What do you mean by is the world coming to an end soon? It depends. But I return to where the lesson began. Is the end of the world coming soon? Yes and no. Yes and no. There's a false doctrine that has circulated now for quite a long time. It's called premillennialism. Prefix pre means before. Millennial is the idea of 1,000. So the notion is that we're living before a coming 1,000-year reign on earth of Jesus. And it's given rise to all kinds of speculations about we're nearing that time. Some people will equate that to we're returning to, or we're coming upon the end times. Some folks are simply just intrigued, though. Maybe they're not premillennialists, but they're just intrigued by the prospect of we might be living in the end times. And then there are those, well, that witness the wickedness that's all around. And I won't debate that for a moment. It is a wicked, wicked world that we're living in. But it causes some to say, you know, it's getting so bad, the end of the world must be coming soon. Ever heard anybody say that? You know, it's getting so bad around here, God's not going to let this go on much longer. I may have even said such myself. Don't think I have. It doesn't sound like me. But you may have at least entertained the idea. This world is so wicked, God's bound to be coming soon to cut it off and say, that's enough. And then you recall just a few years ago, at the turn of the century, all of that Y2K talk. Remember what Y2K was? Y2000 is the idea. Everybody thinking, oh, this may not only be a computer internet crash time, it may also be the end of the world. And they start talking about dispensations. 2000, 2000, 2000. And we're going to have, you remember that? Remember that talk? Well, here we are, 2009. Still going. Still going. But it goes to show, all through history, man seems to be very fascinated with trying to predict the end of the world. And guess what? You don't have to guess. Every single one of them have failed. Thus far. Somebody might get lucky one of these days and predict it, and it hit at the time he guessed. But it was just a guess. It was just a guess. The world still stands. But what we surely do not want to have happen to us is what Peter warned about back in his book. In last times, he says, there will be mockers. There will be some that make fun of this idea. Oh, promise of His coming. Oh, where's the promise? Things continue on as they always have since creation. Remember, God destroyed in Noah's day with a flood. I said something about that a moment ago. A cataclysmic change to the earth as we know it.
and the heavens for that matter, took place, and it'll happen again. But this time with fire. There will be a destruction of this world as we know it. What does the Bible say about the end of the world, though? What does the Bible say about the end of the world, and is it coming soon? Well, it does say that the end is definitely coming. Before we talk about soon for a minute, let's just talk about, does the Bible say anything about it coming to an end? Yes, it does. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Let's start with that which I hope we can all accept by faith. And that is that it is coming. Then we'll get into an area where there might be some debate about, well, is it going to be soon? But let's go with this first. I think there should be no problem with anyone. If there is a problem, talk to me later about it. But I think everyone in this audience probably has no problem with this. And that is, the Bible does teach that the end of the world is coming. It's definitely coming. Chapter 1:10 says, "You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens," that's the upper atmosphere in the universe as we know it, "are the work of your hands." Look what he says in 11, I'm reading slow, "they will perish, but you remain, God, and they," that's the earth and the heavens, "they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them and they will be changed. But you're the same, and your years will not fail." Go to Luke chapter 21. Jesus knew that it would happen, so he can use it to make a point. It's not his main point. It's not his major consideration is, will the world come to an end? But he knows that it will, so he words that which he is trying to say by comparison. Chapter 21 of Luke 33, "Heaven and earth will pass away." Can't be any plainer than that. Now he goes on to say, but my words won't. But the point made, first of all, you think that my words will ever pass? Heaven and earth will, but mine won't. My words won't. Heaven and earth, though, will pass away. Will this world as we know it be destroyed, or will it come to an end as we know it? Yes, sirree. The scriptures make it plain. And there's other verses, but I don't want to belabor the point too much. Next, the end is near, relatively speaking. Relatively speaking. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 teaches there is a sense in which there's a nearness to the end of the world. And I hope you see it after we discuss it here for a couple minutes. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things?" You might say, well, what day are you talking about? Back up to 1, and you'll see, chapter 1, 7. "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day." That's the day he's talking about. And he indicates then in chapter 2, of course, there is a sense in which it's anticipated in the first century. Paul is having to tell the Thessalonican or Thessalonian Christian, don't let anybody fool you in thinking it's already taken place. Now, I know that sounds strange, but go to Timothy and you'll see that there was a prevalent problem. I say prevalent, it was going on. I don't know how prevalent, but it was a problem that had to be addressed. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 16. And that is that the resurrection's already come and gone. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 16. "Shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness.
And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection's already passed. And they overthrow the faith of some. My point is not so much, what do you mean the resurrection is come and gone? I'll discuss that more with you later if you're interested. For now, though, I want you to see that in the first century, some thought it had already happened. First century? We're 21 since then, or 20 since then. We're in the 21st century. Hey, in the first century, there were some false teachers saying, it's come and gone. The resurrection's already happened. Paul tells the Thessalonians, don't let anybody fool you now and think of the days here and come. No, there's going to be some things that have to happen first. My point is not what do they mean by that as much as to say this. They knew it might be in their time. They thought the end might be the everlasting destruction of those that are evil and the salvation of those that are good might be in the first century. Well, that's a long time ago. But that's how near they thought it might be. I think that we see in scriptures an expectation that Christians of every generation would view the end as possible in their lifetime. Every generation. If you lived in the 5th century, the 10th, or in Christopher Columbus's day, you thought that it might be in your time that the world might come to an end, that Jesus might come back, that the judgment might take place. All of that happens at the same time, by the way. That they might all take place in my time. From that standpoint, because of its uncertainty, the end is very near. Relatively speaking, it's always near. It's as uncertain as to when that's going to be, making it always as near as, relatively speaking, today. It could happen today. We sing about it. Where's my book? Turn to 343. We sing about it sometimes. And let's think about it now. 343. 343. I like singing bass on this part, so just watch me or listen to me step aside at the chorus. It won't be very long till this short life shall end. It won't be very long till Jesus shall be dead. And then the daily cry from men shall place our eyes to meet the morning King of Governor in the sky. Be there. But the end is not known to be near, literally. Literally. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and you'll see why I say that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As we commonly think when we say soon. So take it literally, if you will. Do we know that the end of the world is coming soon? No. In chapter 4:13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. And then verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For the sake of time, I'm skipping down to chapter 5:1, but concerning the times of what he's talking about and the seasons that I'm speaking about, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you about that, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day I'm talking about of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. There you go. It's like a thief. What do you think of when you think of someone coming as a thief in the night? Well, you may think of more than one thing, but one thing for certain you ought to think of is unannounced. The thief doesn't come and knock on your door one morning saying, I'm going to rob you tonight. Well, that's not what you do. You just do it. You don't come and announce it ahead of time. And then, did you notice the other thing he said it was like? Leah will relate very well to this, and all other mothers will. Like labor pains. When the labor pains of child delivery time come, it just happens. It's sudden. It'd be terrific to say, I'll use Dennis as an example. Dennis, can't go away today because I'm going to have the baby today. No, but as the day gets closer and closer, he'll stay closer and closer because he knows it might happen soon, but he doesn't know exactly when it'll be. It'll be, honey, let's go to the hospital. Let's go. It's sudden. Suddenly it comes and unannounced. Well, see, that's why I say, will the end of the world come, or is the end of the world coming soon in the sense that we most classically think of soon? Meaning, it's real near. Can't you see? Can't you tell? No. Because it's not predictable. It's unannounced. And it's sudden. People might be saying things like, peace, safety. Boom. It happens. It happens. A few questions and we'll finish here. Well, what about those signs of Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, and portions of Daniel? What about them? Yeah, what about them? What about them? These prophetic passages are often misapplied. They have their fulfillment, I believe, in the end of... I think I had this on the overhead. Let me see here. Yeah, there you go. These prophetic passages are misapplied. They have their fulfillment in the end of Israel. God's chosen nation, the destruction of Jerusalem in particular, and to apply them to the end of the world is a mistake. Let me show you that. Luke chapter 21. Let me show you that that's the case. And this is just one example. Matthew 24 is a parallel account. Mark 13 is another. Even some of Daniel talks about this kind of thing. You remember Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, you know, that kind of thing. So what about those? Don't they speak of the end time? Well, not the end of the world as we think. Look at, what did I say? Luke chapter 21. Look at verse number 5. Then as they spoke, some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations. He said, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another and shall not be thrown down. So they asked him, saying, listen now, verse 7, teacher, Jesus, when will these things be, and what sign will there be when these things, what things? The destruction of this beautiful temple is about to take place. Then he talks, I'm just scanning it down. He talks about 10, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Earthquakes are talked about in verse 11. Talks about all these kind of things, people turning in one another, verse 16, betrayed by parents, brothers, relatives, people hating you, and all of that kind of thing. But look at verse 20. What's he still speaking about? When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her, Jerusalem or Judea, depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. I really feel sorry, verse 23, if you're pregnant when this happens. I really do feel sad for those that are nursing babies in those days. Look at 24. They will fall by the edge of the sword, be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. You might say, well, the next part seems to talk about the end of time. Signs like sun, moon, stars, earth in distress of nations, all of that kind of thing. I think he's figuratively speaking, because if you drop on down to 29, then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they're ready, already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Look at 32. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things that I've been speaking about take place. Well, you might say verse 33, though, says heaven and earth will pass away. Yeah, I know. I read that earlier. He's just trying to say, my word about this is more sure than the heaven and the earth. That's what he's trying to say. He's saying heaven and earth, you think, will last forever? It won't. But my word about this that I've been speaking about will never pass away. It will. Anything I say is fixed and firm. The word of God is sure. It will happen if I say it. It's more sure than the heaven and the earth existing. So, what about the signs? I believe the signs are misapplied. It's not talking about the end of time. How about some others? Well, do not some passages talk about the end or last days? Yes, but they can be referencing another end, the end of Israel, or the last days of the old covenant of Moses. It does not necessarily have to be speaking about the end of the world. There are different ends being spoken of in the Bible. So whenever you see the words, the end is near, does not necessarily mean the end. Or the last days. The last days. Let me show you. I don't have this for you. I'll just have to do this off the top of my head. But in Acts chapter 2, when Peter was speaking and some were accusing them of being drunk. Remember that in Acts chapter 2? He said, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. People don't get drunk by 9 in the morning. He says, this is what was spoken of by who? Joel, the prophet. And he quotes Joel and he starts out by saying, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. This is that. This is what Joel was talking about would happen in the last days. See, there's last days, and there's an end that is not necessarily the end of time or the last days of the earth's existence. Got a couple more and I'll be through. Well, doesn't the book of Revelation describe the end of time? Corey Kohler and I, we had just finished a study of Revelation, and so if he was here, he'd vouch for me on this. No, I don't think so. I don't believe that's the case. The book begins in chapter 1, verse 3, and it ends in chapter 22, verse 6 and 10, saying these things must shortly come to pass. Even if the last part of the book of Revelation is describing the judgment day, and I think that it is, it's not predicted, though. It's not predicted. Sorry, I had that on. One more. Does not the rampant evil of our day, remember I said this earlier, does not the rampant evil of our day, though, make it obvious that the end is near? Tammany doesn't think so. Anybody else? I don't think so. Do we have more than 8 people righteous in the world? We got more than 8 right here. Noah's day was extremely more wicked than we are. Well, you might say we're the most wicked since then. I'm not so sure. Haven't you read Romans chapter 1? Wow, that Gentile world of Romans 1 that Paul talks about, that was wicked. And you might say, well, we're repeating it. Oh, okay, I'll grant that, I guess. Nowhere in the Bible is this idea taught. Sorry, I don't know where in the Bible it says when things get so evil, God will step in and just stop it. There have been many generations before this one that rival, if not even greatly exceed ours in moral degeneracy. Yes, that's it.